Reading will be taken from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Second Timothy 1, 4 through 6. And it reads, "As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands."
Good morning. It is great to see you here this morning. We want to say Happy Mother's Day to all to whom that applies. Happy Mother's Day. People say that a lot. They say, "I want to say something. I want to tell you," and then they don't say it. So we want to say Happy Mother's Day, and then we say Happy Mother's Day. It's great. Mothers are great. They're just fantastic. Don't know anybody really like mothers. They're just wonderful. I'm a father, so I know what that's like. And yet, there's still nothing like a mother. They're just fantastic. So we'll talk about mothers this morning. Paul here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, is actually a preacher writing to a preacher. He's trying to encourage the young preacher, Timothy. And one of the things he does is he mentions two women in Timothy's life. And what he says about those women is noteworthy and kind of dovetails nicely into our sermon this morning. For this morning, we want to talk about three ways to honor mothers. I trust Mother's Day is on your mind, so it seemed like a good topic to talk about, although there was a myriad of other options. But it's probably on your mind this morning. Is that fair? Should we talk about our mothers? Talk about honoring them? Did something happen last week I'm not aware of? Okay, just checking. Three ways to honor mothers. As I had that thought, that was secondary to this thought, because the original sermon was going to be how mothers emulate God. And rather than give you two sermons, I thought I'd just give you a slide real quick, because mothers are just that fantastic. There are some similarities. God loves us. Mothers love their children. Is that fair? God believes in us. Mothers believe in their babies. Their babies come out geniuses. How she knows, I don't know, but she knows she has a genius on her hand. And that baby knows very early in life, mama believes in you. Nobody else does, but mama does. Kids talk about you at school. It's okay. Mama has your back. She believes in you. Mamas do that. Mothers, they believe in us. God gave himself to us. He shared his image. Mothers give themselves to us. They do. Some literally give themselves for us, as God has given Christ for us. Well, that could have been an entire sermon, but it won't be. I just thought, wow, they emulate God. So let's talk about three ways we can honor mothers this morning. Three ways to do that. One is mentioned here in 2 Timothy 1, and that is point number one, partake in the faith. I don't know a mother who is a faithful Christian who does not ultimately want her children to be faithful Christians. That's what Paul writes to Timothy. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice," some people say Eunice if you prefer. Paul then says, "And I am also persuaded," I'm persuaded that that faith is in you. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Well, before even Timothy got the faith, what the verse indicates is Lois had it, but then she passed it on to her daughter. which means her daughter Eunice then honored her mother. She partook in the faith that was passed on. And then she, by extension then, did that to her son, now Timothy. As you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What we learn ultimately comes from our parents. And there's probably no one more early in our lives talking to us about God than our mothers. The hand that rocks the cradle and all, you understand. The Bible says that we must search the scriptures, and mothers who are faithful have spent their time sufficiently in God's word to develop their own faith. Early in life, then the child's faith isn't really their faith at all. It's what their mother has been teaching them. It's just what they believe. They've heard their mother say it. They've watched her live it. They followed her. And so it's really not the child's faith. I'm talking about the time in which you become sufficient of age that you can then imbibe the information yourself. Your mother doesn't want you ultimately to believe it because you believe her, but rather she wants it, as Paul wrote to Timothy, this unfeigned faith is now in you. And there is scarcely a way you can honor a mother greater than to develop, grow, strengthen, ultimately a relationship with God by you developing it, by you searching the scriptures, by you seeing if those things are so, and ultimately by you trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. While every mother this probably around this country in some form or fashion, I say every, not every, but a great many mothers are with their children in worship today. While that thrills mothers to no end, what she knows very often is when she leaves, so will her children. When she goes back home, they won't darken this door. They won't be back. I assure you, giving her a day, while that might provide some joy, and while she is will take it, being the mothers and the people that they are, they'll take you coming with them. No, but if you want to honor them, what she wants most from you is that you have a relationship with God and that you allow God to lead you the way he has led her. You want to honor your mother? Partake in the faith. But number two, listen to her wisdom. If mothers do anything, they teach, they talk, they plead, they give wisdom to their children. Solomon said, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Consider, if you have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 8. The proverb writer says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Also note chapter 6, same book, in verse number 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Chapter 30. Verse number 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagle shall eat it. Mothers give instructions. They give wisdom. And refusing to listen and obey actually creates turmoil for the mother. It causes heaviness to her heart. There may be, and I suppose in June when it's Father's Day, I'll be saying something similar about fathers, but there may not be anybody who has more concern about the welfare of their children and the outcome of their lives than their mothers. She has carried you, and she continues to carry you. She carries you in her heart. And when you refuse to listen to her wisdom, when she watches as you go the other way and turn your back and turn aside and cast aside her desired end for you, what you may not know is how often her pillow is wet at night with tears. What you may not know is how often she finds herself on her knees or in her closet praying for your well-being. And yet people will grab up mama today and say, let's go to dinner and let's go to church. Let's do what you want to do today. I assure you this. That wisdom she's been giving you for the last several years, if not the entirety of your life, if you want to honor her, listen to her instruction and her wisdom. Follow after what she has been teaching and what she's been saying and what she's been pleading. I want to honor your mother. The heaviness of her heart is a son or a daughter who will not follow her instructions. But then number three, which actually brings us to finally. They said don't say that in preaching school. When you go through preaching school, they said don't say finally. And it seemed like a good way to end a sermon. But what they said is when you say finally, people will believe you. And if you talk past finally, they'll not be happy with you if you don't make it finally. Number three, reciprocate her love. Proverbs chapter 31 is sometimes read. It's almost one of those passages of scripture where it almost seems like there's this idealized version of a woman, but nobody can really amount to that. Listen, that's not true. What's written here is probably descriptive of most, if not every, faithful Christian woman who is also a mother. Because a lot of the material has to do with her mothering as much as her being a wife to a husband. Listen to some of the passages. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Coincidentally, mothers are women. It takes some of us some time to learn that. Mothers, sorry. It takes us a while to realize there isn't actually another entity called mother. It's actually a woman who is a mother, but it seems like a thing unto itself, so we lose sight of the fact that there's actually a human being under there who wasn't always a mother, was a little girl at one time running around with pigtails and ponytails, having fun in the streets and just enjoying her life. Now, we didn't know that about you. We thought you came here as a mother, robed in motherliness, with the magical breath to cure all ills. We thought you came like that. We didn't know. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Slide down with me, if you will, in the text over and about verse 24. She maketh fine linen, selleth it with air, delivering girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and it shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, last point, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. What this woman is a mother. And all of that rising up and all of that activity has largely to do with those children. You want to honor your mother? Reciprocate the love that you were receiving before you knew you were even being loved. Sometimes when we become adults, young, well, I say adults, probably that teenage, late to life teens, the easing into adulthood, children start having what they believe at that time in their lives are wants / needs. And so they come to their parents and they say, you know, I need for you to do something for me. I need this from you. I'd like to have this from you. I'd like for you to give me X. And parents, mothers in particular at this point, sometimes say no. And children, if they ask enough times and get told no enough times, they start to question this person, question their love, question their care, question whether or not they're ever going to give anything. And what I like to suggest to young people about this age is, do you believe the giving has just started? About the time you get 15, 16, 17, 18, you now can ask for something and feel like you have a right to it. And then when you get told no, you like, what, these people ain't gonna give me nothing? Oh, you thought she just started giving last week. That's what you thought? I wish I could sing better than I could sing. I'd be a singing preacher. I'm just telling you now. Just telling you now. But a song just ran through my head. I heard it when I was a child. Some of the lyrics say, for the 9 months I carried you, growing inside of me, no charge. For the nights I stayed up with you, doctored, prayed, cared for you, no charge. And it just goes on and on and on about what mothers do and have done continually for their children. And if you want to honor her, you rise up and you say, thank you. God bless you continually for what you have done. Very often they give their lives for their children. Not necessarily literally, but in every other sense. It's how we forget they were even once, they had a life prior to us. We forget that entirely. It's almost as if your life was given to you so you could give it to me, and I've grown to expect it. Imagine a thought when one day they might just want it back. Perish the thought. You want to honor your mother? Go to worship with her, that's fine. Glad to have you if you're here. You give her love back sufficiently that she has given you. That'll honor her. There simply is no probably greater blessing God has given to humanity than women. A. Eve is the mother of all living. If you've been blessed with a mother who has demonstrated the love of God, and you honor her, sadly, it's a day. May it be lived out in our lives and their children's lives every day to appreciate what God has done. Not a Christian this morning, I don't suppose we talked a great deal about the Lord's plan of salvation. We always want to extend an invitation to that end, however, because there is clearly in the creation of man and woman in the garden, God's mirroring of that in Christ and his church in Ephesians 5. And so clearly he had that in mind. But if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Friends, you need to believe that. I spent the better part of the last 2 weeks, maybe three, working on manuscripts. And the content of those manuscripts have been about whether or not there is a God. And I have read, I don't know how many pages about people arguing that there is no God. It's no wonder the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. One has to absolutely reject all reason and all evidence to draw such a conclusion. The world, the heavens, you, me, everything in this world manifests and declares and says aloud there is a God. And friends, you need to believe that. You need to believe that he loves you. You need to believe that he sent Jesus to die for you. Turn from sin. Change your heart. Change your mind. Luke 13:3, if you don't, you perish. Confess to Christ. He loves you. He gave his life for you. And finally, be immersed in water with him, buried, Romans 6:3-4, so you can rise and walk in newness of life. If you've never done that, you need to. We extend the Lord's invitation. We plead with you to respond to it. If you're here this morning, you are a Christian. And friends, if you need to come home, occasionally God's children need to make things right with him. I trust that you know God will have you back. There's nothing you can do. There is nothing you can say. There's no activity in which you can engage that your Father's love will not welcome you home with open arms. Luke 15 is in our Bibles to assure us he desires us to come home. He wants to have us back. He'll kill the fatted calf, give us the ring, give us the shoes, and rejoice in the presence of the angels at your return. If you have a need to that end, please come. We can help you in any way as we stand and as we sing.